If you can keep your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians, or keep your app open or something like that. And if you do have your mobile phones and you're using that as the Bible, this is a good time to put it on airplane mode so that you won't get distracted or others won't get distracted through you as well. Well, welcome to Focus Indonesia. Selamat pagi. It's great to be here. If you don't know me, my name is Charles. And a special welcome to you if this is your first time. Lots of new things this year. You'll notice this is a new building. Lots of empty spaces at the back. Hopefully we'll fill them up with new students as well in the coming weeks. But it's nice, the smell of a new room. Can you smell it? And I don't know whether you noticed, but there's USB chargers on the bottom of every seat. So that means, I was saying to people, if you have devices at home that you need recharging, Sunday mornings, come early, bring all your cords, plug them all in. Free service from the university for you. But also, it's great to have some new people who are joining us this year to really get to know us a bit better and to be a part of our ministry. Particularly, I want to welcome Alison. Those of you who were part of the commissioning yesterday would have met Alison or saw Alison. Alison, you tell us, what do you do, Alison? Fantastic. So we're glad to have Alison here with us. And part of the reason for that as well is because we've got some female trainees, girls from our church who are getting trained this year. You all know them, but we heard from Savitri yesterday. Chopin, or is it Josie now? I heard Josie's the new nickname for... Is that right? Is it Josie? But not Chopin. Up to us, okay. But how are you feeling about the year? Excited? Yeah, great. So Savitri, Chopin, Josephine, Yenli, where's Yenli? She's there as well. How are you feeling? It's great to have Yenli. As you all know, last year Yenli was trying to be part of the ministry traineeship, but due to visa issues, couldn't happen. But praise the Lord, that all came through over the summer. And so she's able to serve part-time and get trained part-time with us at GFI this year. And, of course, you know, Yenli's husband, Tony. And so it's good to have Tony. It's nice to have a bit of a multicultural difference. No, Tony is a wannabe Indonesian, and so it's great to have him along. But also, the Brackenbury's are joining us this year. So welcome, everyone. Say hi to the Brackenbury's. And so David, as you all heard yesterday, is taking up the role of pastoring Uni Church this year. You feeling okay about that, Dave? Feeling okay? And you've got two kids, so that's Catherine and Samuel at Sunday school. And he's probably the only white kid there. So he'll get used to UNSW. There's a few other people who are new, but also Chris, you want to tell us about yourself? Who are you?
I am 3 year more college.
So Chris is going to come along and see different things. So please welcome Chris as well. And really exciting to have your part Indonesian, part British. Yeah. Is that right? So that's why you've got that accent that's not quite Australian. But it's great to have Chris along as well. And welcome back, everyone. I was speaking to the parents, lots of kids going to new schools as well this year. So lots of changes, new rooms, new minions, I mean, new trainees and... Hopefully in a couple of weeks, new students as well. And Herbert's right, it's great if you can to help out with O-Week, but we understand if you are very busy with different things, please at least be involved by prayer, and please be involved when you do come on Friday nights or on Sundays and you meet some of these, we don't call them kids, Herbert, we don't call them kids. They're not kids. They're young adults. When you meet these young adults at the university, do welcome them and introduce yourselves, because we were all young kids too, or young students, young adults, whatever it is. But how about we pray? Because really, one of the things that we need to happen this year is to depend on God. And as a church, we're going to think about what it means to be a church in 2017. The key thing, though, is that we need to keep remembering that we are a church that belongs to God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray and ask that He will keep being with us this year. Let's pray. Father God, thanks so much for the joy of knowing that You love us. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who not only purchased us by His blood, but has shaped us and formed us and is renewing us to become more and more like the bride that He deserves. And so we thank You, Father, for our church, for this new building, for the different people who are part of us this year. And especially we pray that in the coming weeks, we will be those who welcome newcomers, that we will learn to love them, that we will learn to accept them, that through us, You will be able to grow them to also learn to love Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what kind of a church do we want to be in 2017? What kind of things do we want to keep doing from the previous years that we've been a part of GFI? What kind of things do we want to stop doing? What kind of things do we want to try or change about ourselves? I could give you 30 seconds to talk to the person next to you, but we won't do that. However, it's interesting, isn't it, to ask, when people think about our church, what is it that they know about us? Maybe nobody knows very much about our church at all. And so when I went with Chris to Indonesia, not many people know Focus Indonesia. That's okay. But if they did know us, if people did visit us, if people did meet people like you at the workplace or at uni or on the streets, what can they work out about our church through you? What can they work out about our church if they came here? Well, this year we're going to be looking at lots of the Bible, and that's something that we want to keep doing. We're going to be looking through the book of Romans this year, so that's really exciting, and you can pray for me as I prepare for that. We're going to be looking at the letter of 2 Timothy, and Carl, and I think Dave is going to preach through that as well. So we're going to get a few preachers coming in to do that. We're going to get some of you guys to be preaching through Jonah, so that's exciting. It might include you, Chris. We'll work that out. And then we're also going to be looking at the book of Proverbs, and who better to teach us Proverbs than the wisest guy of all, Joshua Ung. The older you get, the wiser. He's pretty old, so he's the wisest of all. So he's going to come and teach us from Proverbs as well this year. So lots of things to be looking forward to. But today, we're going to think about what it means to be a church that really reflects the gospel. And the passage we're looking at today is, 1 Thessalonians, because here in 1 Thessalonians, I think we've got a picture of a fairly good church, perhaps a model church for us to try and think about. And we know that they are a good church because they are a church that, one, people can thank God for, and two, they are a church that has been shaped by the gospel and the Holy Spirit. And so if you'd like to take notes on the outline there today, you can see there where we're heading. Well, verse 1, let's meet the Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. Well, as you probably all know, the letters that we find in the New Testament's part of the Bible are usually sort of, they start off the same kind of way. They're a bit like emails in that they've got a formula. Some of you don't know emails because you just use WhatsApp or Line or whatever. The emails, you can probably see them at the museum somewhere. But the emails start usually with a from whom. From who. And then to whom. And then usually it's got a subject that describes the key purpose of the email itself. And the from whom, it's very important because that's where you work out whether you should be reading it or not. If it's from mum and dad, you know that you should read it. If it's from your brother and sisters, you can probably read it later. If it's for your mum and dad, you really shouldn't read it. If it is for your brothers and sisters, you can read it and then say that you haven't read it later on. But here you can see who it's from. It is from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And elsewhere, we know, of course, that Paul is the apostle of God. He's the one who has been sent by God as the representative of God as he communicates the message about Jesus. Silvanus and Timothy, you may know them. Silvanus is often known as Silas in other letters of the Bible, but they are the companions of Paul. And interestingly enough, these three were part of the group that first met the Thessalonians in Thessalonica. And so who is this letter for? We can see there that it's firstly for a church. It's not for just individuals. There are some letters that are for individuals, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, that sort of thing. But here it's to a church. And we learn that it's the church of the Thessalonians. Why is that important? Well, because it gives us a little bit of a background. When you go to Acts chapter 17, you learned the first time that this group of people first heard the gospel from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And interestingly enough, when you read Acts chapter 17, when they first heard the gospel, it wasn't a very happy time for Paul, Silvanus, or Timothy. It wasn't the sort of holiday destination that they had hoped for. Why? Because people didn't like them. And it wasn't that they didn't like them because of their personalities. They didn't like them because of their message. However, even though that first initial impression of the gospel was rejected by lots of people, as we read on in this letter, we see that it wasn't a complete waste of time for Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to go to the Thessalonians. Why? Well, because they were a community that God had chosen. There was amongst them a community of people whom God had chosen to become his church. And so you can see that this is the church of the Thessalonians, and it qualifies that by saying, who are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This letter is a letter to a community of Christians that was formed by God, is sustained by God, and is being shaped by God. But just not any God. In Indonesia, Pancasila, we believe in, the one true God? What's the Indonesian phrase for it? Tuhan Yang Maha Esa. Well, it's not just Tuhan Yang Maha Esa, and that could be anything. Notice what it says here. It is the God who is the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the church in Thessalonica was a Christian church. It wasn't a group of Muslims. It wasn't a group of Jews. It wasn't a group of Buddhists. It wasn't a group of people who just happened to like each other. It was a group that belonged to the one true God, the God who is Father, Son, and, as we'll soon see, Holy Spirit. And it's important that as Paul writes this letter at the very beginning, he reminds them of this. Who are they? Who should our church think about ourselves as belonging to? Well, we're not just part of Campus Bible Study. That's true. Organizationally, we are. But the reminder is that if you are a church that is a true church of God, then we are a church that belongs to him, the God who believes in God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's a great comfort, isn't it? Even as we may feel sometimes we're pretty ordinary, we're pretty sometimes small, we haven't made a big impression in the world, here we are reminded that if we are a church that has been formed by God himself, then we belong to him. And that's great news. But this church then in Thessalonica, what is it like? What is this church like now that God has purchased these people for himself? Well, verse 2, we are reminded that this is a church that we can thank God for. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Here is the characteristic of a church that people can thank God for. Paul, as he remembers what happened when he was there, all the trials or the persecution. It was a terrible church, to have, a terrible city to have been a part of, because to have visited, because when Paul went there, not only did the people not like the message that Paul preached, but they drove him out. And they started to make it really hard for those who wanted to hear Paul's message. And not only did this church, this community, drive Paul out, but we read in Acts chapter 17, when Paul left there to another city called Berea, the people there even chased Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the next town to get rid of them even more so there as well. But here we see that Paul, as he reflects back on those terrible times, can still thank God for this group of people, a group that he says has been chosen because they are the beloved of God. Why? What is it that he thanks God for? Well, he thanks God for God's work. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. And verse 4, for we know, brothers, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. It's important, isn't it, that we keep remembering that when we look at a church and see how good it is, or how much it's grown, or how transformed the people are, we don't thank the pastor, although yeah, you can sometimes. You don't thank the leadership, although, again, sometimes they are the means that God uses. But ultimately, it is God that we need to thank. And Paul looks back at those people in Thessalonica and the way that they've been able to still form this church in the midst of that hardship, and he thanks God, because he knows that it could only have happened because God chose them, because God loved them. It is God's work that Paul thanks God for the Thessalonians. But secondly, it is also because of their faith, love, and hope work. You see, what does it look like to be a Christian community? When you think about basketball teams, you know that they're basketball teams because they're usually tall and often they're black and often, that's if they're good, by the way. And they look like they play basketball and they've got basketballs in their hands. You can sort of tell a basketball team, right? It's different from a chess team. Chess team, you don't need to be so tall. And you can tell a group of, accountants, maybe? I don't know. Chris, you did finance, other people who did accountants. When accountants are together, they all look the same, don't they? They all say debit, credit with each other. And, Stella, is that right? or a community of computer engineers or computer scientists. There are no communities. They're all in their desks at the computer, so that rules that out. But when you think about a Christian community, a Christian church, what does it look like? How do you know what a group that belongs to God, that's been chosen by God, looks like? Well, it's not by having a cross at the front of the gathering room, is it? It's not by necessarily having a name that includes the word Christ, Christus, or even having the word Gregia at the front. You can have those things, and they may describe a little bit of your church, but notice what Paul says highlights this group and why he thanks God for them. He thanks God for them because of the work that is evident as Paul sees their lives. A work that is prompted or shaped by their faith. A work that they that evidences itself in the way that they love each other and others outside of the church. And a work that perseveres, that continues, even in the midst of possible hardship and persecution. When people look at our church this year, will they notice, as we gather together, from the things that we talk about, from the types of people that represent our church, that we are a church that belongs to God? Will they thank God for you? Will they thank God for us? Paul knows that this is a group that has been shaped by God because he can see it in their actions. You can see it in their lives. You can see it in the way that they've been transformed. I was speaking to a bunch of Indonesian youths in Indonesia the last time we visited, and I spoke to them about the change that's necessary for a Christian. And I asked them, do you guys know Bruce Banner? And nobody knew. You guys know who Bruce Banner is, don't you? You know Bruce Banner? Some of you do, some of you don't. the older people say yes. Is that right, Claudette? No, not that you're older. You know older people like Stephen. But Bruce Banner, you probably know him better as the Hulk. The Hulk, the green guy in the Avengers, the guy who's bigger than most people in this room, all people in this room. Now, Bruce Banner, he doesn't look very, outstanding. When you see him in a crowd, you're not meant to be able to pick him out because he looks just fairly ordinary. However, when he changes, when he's the Hulk, he makes quite an impression, doesn't he? Nobody can say they don't know he's in the room when the Hulk is in the room. When the Hulk is in the room, he's in the room, right? Everybody knows. And I wonder whether as Christians, sometimes we think that when you become a Christian, nobody needs to know, or nobody can know. We think Christians, well, we should be just like ordinary people and nobody, just fit right in. And I wonder whether as a church, sometimes it looks like we want to fit in with everyone else, we want to look the same, and we forget that actually the key points of being a Christian is that we are people who are changed. We are people who are transformed. And here Paul says, to be a church that has been chosen by God, you are to be transformed visibly. When people come in and visit our church, will they notice your faith, our faith? The fact that we are those who don't just talk about the soccer or talk about what's on sale on Oz Bargains or don't talk about the holidays that we just had, but we actually talk about what we believe. We talk about how we're going as Christians in our daily lives. We talk about serious, important matters. Not always just being serious, but actually that's a part of how we can even rejoice and relax by talking about these things as if they are normal. And when people see the way that we interact with each other, will they notice the love? You know how some communities, you can just sort of have a sense, can't you, as you come in, that it's very cold. There are some birthday parties I've been to where it's meant to be fun, and there's lots of big music playing, and everyone looks dressed up, but nobody sort of interacts, and there's not much care. When people come into our church, will they notice that we care? Because we've experienced the love of God, and so we know how to love unconditionally, generously, sacrificially, abundantly. And when people see our church, will they see us being happy and chirpy and glorifying God when things are just good? Or will they see us, even when it's hard, persevering? This is one of the joys that I've had in GFI, actually, seeing us. Not when we suffer, but I don't rejoice in suffering, but I rejoice when I see people within our church, when they are suffering, persevering in their faith, and others surrounding them, gathering with them, actually holding their hands and caring for them. Why? Because we are those who have hope. The Christian church is a church that has the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ coming back and making all things well, and yet we are waiting for that day, and as things get hard in the meanwhile, we persevere nonetheless. We keep doing the good, even when it hurts. Will we stay being the Bruce Banner kind of church, or will we be evident by the way that we live that we are those who belong to Christ? And if we did, like the Thessalonians, we can thank God, can't we, for God's work amongst us. Because the gospel and the Holy Spirit is the means by which God changes and transforms people. And so point three, notice that the Thessalonians are a church shaped by the gospel and the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel, notice, came to you. Not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. The gospel came to the Thessalonians. It wasn't that they suddenly overnight decided to change and then, you know, came across some leak in a plantation, in a radioactive plantation, and gamma radiation somehow changed them to become the Hulk, that sort of thing. Their transformation came when the gospel came. When Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy preached the gospel amongst them, notice what it says here. It didn't just come as the words of men. It was through the words of men, but it came with power and because it was of the Holy Spirit. It is this message of the gospel of Jesus that the Bible says changes people. You can't change people just by making a community that acts a certain way and hopefully people will just follow them. You can for a while, but it doesn't really transform deeply. It doesn't transform them fully. It doesn't actually transform them to become like Jesus. It just makes them become like you. But when you preach the gospel, when the gospel is heard and is made known, and the Spirit of God works, then it is powerful. And it is this that shapes people's lives. And so we learn that the gospel that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy preached came with power. And it came with the Holy Spirit. And it came with deep or full conviction. And deep conviction or full conviction is something that in the next few weeks when we come and meet new people or when we go to O-Week, we really need, don't we? Yes, we need courage. Yes, we need to know what it is that we want to invite people to explain the gospel through. But we need God's Spirit to work, and we need to be those who actually believe it as well. And so, do you believe the gospel? And if so, come and share it with others. But what it also means is that to let the gospel and the Holy Spirit work in the lives of people, we need to give people opportunities to hear the gospel and for the Spirit to work. Spirits and gospel, we can't separate, can we? Over and over again, we keep learning that in the Bible, the way that the Spirit works in people is through His Word, the gospel word. And so what do we want to do? Well, as a church, we want to make sure that people keep hearing the gospel when they come. Friday nights, Sunday mornings, when we talk with them afterwards, after church and at lunch. When you meet a newcomer, why don't you share with them what you believe and pray as you do so that the Holy Spirit will work to transform even them? Because when the gospel came to the Thessalonians, notice what it does. It made them receive it. Verse 6. And so you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. When Paul preached the gospel with Silvanus and Timothy to the Thessalonians, it was really hard for them. But when you read Acts chapter 17, it actually became very hard even for the Thessalonians themselves. Those whom God worked by His Spirit to make them believe in the gospel, they wanted to hear more. They wanted to receive the message. They wanted to welcome Paul. But as they did, things became very hard for them. Friends, being a Christian is not going to be easy. The model church doesn't mean that we are the completely safe church either. But to be truly Christian is to be, well, like Christ. And to be truly like Christ is not only to believe in God, but to trust God that this world is a world full of sin and a world that has rejected Him. And only by Spirit will people come to faith. And only at the end will all things be made right. Don't be fooled into thinking that if you trust in the Lord Jesus, that life will be easy. Don't be fooled into thinking that if we are faithful with the gospel here as a church, we won't have persecution. To be honest, it hasn't been very much of a persecution here on campus for many of us. And for many years, praise the Lord, not that we're asking for persecution. However, when the university gets upset with us during O-Week, when sometimes the security will come and say, guys, where's your booking sheet, and make life hard? Or even more, when we invite people and they say no, and we share the gospel with people and they say that's stupid, or they go to somewhere else that, well, it's much more comfortable but isn't proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Don't be surprised. But like Paul, we need to imitate Christ and be faithful even in the midst of hardship. The changed lives of the Thessalonians happened because of their belief in the Word of God and because of the Holy Spirit at work. The gospel, when received, is not easy, and we, like them, need to imitate Paul and persevere and endure, even as Paul imitates Christ. But notice what else happens when a church hears the gospel and is shaped by the Holy Spirit. And here is what makes the Thessalonians such a model church. Because, notice, they became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, verse 7. For, verse 8, not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The church in Macedonia, in Thessalonica, didn't just become a transformed church that had no effect to others. Like the Hulk, it's very obvious when you are changed. Here, notice what happens. Not only did they hear the gospel and receive the gospel, but now because of their transformation, they pass on the gospel as well. And they did it through two ways. One, through the gospel word itself. So just in the same way that Paul preached the gospel to them, notice what happens in verse 8, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia. The people in Thessalonica didn't keep what they had heard and received to themselves. They shared the message. They proclaimed it with their friends, with their family, with their neighbors. In the workplace, they didn't just stay silent. Maybe you're in the workplace called to work and that's when you're meant to do work, but during the breaks, what are you talking about with the people around you? And at university, yes, there are times when during group work you just have to do group work, but there's so much other times out there to actually share what it is that you believe. And here, the Thessalonian church are said to be those whose rings forth, whose word of the Lord is proclaimed through them. It's important that we know the gospel. And this year, if you've never ever done the Two Ways to Live course at Focus Team, please make sure you do. But if you do know the gospel, then don't just keep it to yourself. Proclaim it. But it's not just through their words. As we've seen before, it is through also their gospel works. The gospel and the Spirit doesn't just change our minds. That's where it begins. Our convictions, our understanding, our new thoughts about God and ourselves and sin and salvation, it's all coming through our understanding and then the Spirit's work in us. It starts there, but it doesn't remain there. It is to be expressed in our works. Faith, love, and hope kind of work. Gospel work. Work that, notice, is so evident that even the surrounding towns heard about their faith. What's our church known for? When people meet those who are from our church, what do they know about our church? You're a bunch of people who know a lot about the Bible, good at biblical theology, able to explain Two Ways to Live, can memorize some verses, know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, know what eschatology means, know what propitiation means, understand the connections between God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a more informed way than others? Are we a church that is just known for what we know? Or are we known for being a church that has been transformed by what we know? Well, that's what the Thessalonians were. People saw and heard the way that the gospel and the Holy Spirit has shaped their lives. For verse 9, for they themselves report concerning you, us, the kind of reception we had among you. They saw the love that these Thessalonians had for people like Paul. People had heard the report of the way that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They knew their faith by the way that they stopped serving materialistic things, false things, things that are not true, and instead serve the true and living God. People notice their love, people notice their faith, and people notice also their hope. Notice? And people report the fact that these Thessalonians wait for Jesus from heaven, whom God raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. When people look at our church, when people look at you, do they think that you are only living for this world? The way you spend your money, the way you use your time, the way we talk about things that actually, at the end, doesn't really matter? Or will they recognize as they meet us, as they see us, that these people are living for another age, for another time? Because we wait for our Lord Jesus to come back. Faith, love, hope. These are the gospel works that should characterize our church. Friends, by ourselves, it's never going to happen. It's like Bruce Banner. If the gamma radiation didn't come, he can go like, oh, all he likes, and his clothes would not rip off, and he wouldn't turn green, and he wouldn't become the Hulk. It's not going to happen by ourselves, is it? But it can happen, and it does happen, as we depend on God through his word and his spirit to work amongst us.